my Lord.
See your Lord. See your Lord. Let's worship
you
Him.
You are my Lord, and I will worship you with all of my heart, and I will worship you with all of my mind, and I will worship you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord.
His blood atoned me, and I repented of my sins and won the victory.
There is victory
in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood.
He loved me.
I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion that He has built for me in glory. Heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
There is
victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my life is
due. Did you give me three again?
Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion that He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love.
Oh, yes, he loved me.
I knew him and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
It says red, so praise God. Praise, I thank him for that victory. Amen. I think that we can go to him and have and seek and get granted more love and more power.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get right started while you're standing. If you'll turn to John chapter 10 and verse 14. John 10 and 14. Today we're continuing our Bible lesson series on God's Word for today's world. And today's lesson is, we're in the sixth part of that series. It's God's Word for today about the Great Shepherd. And I want to subtitle that. You guys know I like subtitles. And the thought that occurred to me because I spoke on the 23rd Psalm, and that's what our lesson text is actually, the last time I was up here, I said, oh Lord, you got to help me. And then he immediately gave me this thought this morning. My subtitle is, You Are Not Alone. Or you can say, I am not alone.
Right.
Amen. John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I'm going to ask our pastor if he will ask the Lord to lead us in this lesson. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before you see it, can you give him some love? Amen. He is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I had to put some extra study time in this week. we are talking about the great shepherd. And if you're going to talk about a shepherd, what goes with a shepherd, and that's sheep. I don't know too much about sheep. I wasn't raised on a farm. I didn't have a lot of interactivity, if you will, with animals growing up. Even though I wasn't raised on a farm, I could hear my dad say to me many times, on quite many occasions, what, were you born in a barn? And so as a matter of fact, I didn't have my first house pet that lived with us inside our house until after I got married. We had some dogs growing up, but my parents didn't allow any animals in the house. So that's the environment I grew up. So on our first Valentine's Day together as a married couple, Dee and I decided to treat each other with a very energetic German Shepherd puppy. And the key word there is energetic. And he was so small. He's very tiny. I remember holding him in my hand, in the palm of my hand. And I asked the breeder there about the German Shepherd. He goes, oh, he will only get up to 45 pounds. And eventually, he tipped the scale at 100 pounds plus. So he was a big dog. And during that first year, Yogi and I learned a lot about each other. He was living in the house with us, and needless to say, Yogi and I, we had many, many in-the-middle-of-the-night conversations on what was allowed behavior inside the house and what was not so much. And the thing I enjoyed most with my first house dog was the relationship that we built together. One of my fondest memories was that I had taught Yogi how to go fetch my morning paper. And he would be very eager. He's at the door, and he's just, he just practically tear that door down. I'd open the door, and he'd shoot down my long driveway. We had a very long driveway, and they would deliver it was a Sunday paper, so it was a real big fat one. That's the only one I had delivered was on Sunday. And so they would drop it just at the edge of my driveway, right at the edge of the road. And so Yogi would just scoot down there with everything, and when he got down there, he'd kind of wipe out a little bit, and he'd And one little scoop, he'd grab it, and he'd bring it to me, and I'd have the door open, and he'd drop it at my feet. Well, one time he went down there, and the paper wasn't there. And before I could even realize what was going on in that dog's head, he had dashed over next door, seeing that they did, however, deliver a paper to my neighbor's house. And he jetted over there in cougar-like speed and scooped up the paper and ran right back and dropped it at my feet, and his tail's just wagging like crazy. And, you know, maybe I didn't train him all that well, but with today's topic, however, I didn't need to know how to train my dog better, but I did need to know more about sheep. So if you can look at your closest neighbor to you and using your best sheep impression, say hello. I think we have some sheep experts here this morning. Okay, but I'm assuming you're like me and you haven't had much activity with sheep or haven't been around sheep with your, you know, recently at all anyway. So I did what any other Bible scholar would do, Brother Davis. I went to Google. And to my surprise, I found a website called sheep101.info. And it actually exists. And Brother Davis shaking his head, he's been there. Okay. And it's a site that's put on by the University of Maryland. And it even provides a shepherd's manual. And I found that very interesting. But here are some of the things I learned. I'll quickly go through these. Do you know what a baby sheep is called? A lamb. Okay, well, you know more than me. Do you know what a mother sheep is called? Well, it's actually spelled E-W-E, no correlation, but it's pronounced U. I tease Indiana like that. Ew. So how about an adult male sheep? What's it called? A ram. Wow, man. And so I was really learning a lot from this website, and so you guys are really, really fortunate this morning. But here's a deep one. Do you know what you call a lot of sheep together? A flock. There you go. All right. All right, so you guys got the background. I found that sheep have a strong instinct to follow the sheep in front of them. When one sheep decides to go somewhere, the rest of the sheep are sure to follow. So if one goes to the slaughterhouse, the rest are going to go to the slaughterhouse. If one falls over a cliff, the rest are sure to follow. And even from birth, lambs are conditioned to follow the older members of the flock. It's an instinct that, Brother Wells, it's hardwired inside of them. They can't help it. It's something that they don't think about. I found that sheep need someone to lead them to food and to water. If you just keep them in the same pasture, they'll destroy that pasture. So a shepherd has to lead them from pasture to pasture. And I also found that sheep have an amazing relationship with their shepherd. In America, that's lost because of they get their four-wheelers out or whatever, and they drive the sheep. But the university here on the site said that's wrong. He goes, sheep are not made to be driven. They're made to be led. Okay? And I found that very, very interesting. This was not a Christian site. It's just a secular site out there. But in the Bible, God repeatedly refers to each of us as sheep. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. In Psalms 100, in verse 3, one of my favorite psalms, when we're in Sunday school, they teach us this to memorize it. Psalms 100, verse 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we of ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the Bible tells us that there's a lot of shepherds that it brings about. Moses was a shepherd. Abraham, a lot of leaders that you find out throughout the Word of God were shepherds. And the one we're going to focus on here this morning is David. And the Bible tells us that before David became king of Israel, he was a shepherd to his family's flock. And as a shepherd, David spent many days and nights alone. It's not kind of a job I would like to have, just you out there by yourself with a sheep. But during this time of his life, we have evidence that he wrote and he sang and he played many songs. Passages such as Psalm 8 and Psalms 19 suggest that praising God for his mighty acts and for his amazing creative power, it was a daily occurrence for David. For an example, Psalms 8, verses 3 through 4, David wrote, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, if you are a Bible scholar, you'll know that that is a prophetic of the Messiah. But also, you can look at it. It's just this creation and the wonder of creation. And but perhaps it was one of these nights in the pastures with his sheep. He looked up into the sky and he noticed all the stars and how they went on and on and on. Perhaps he began to think about his position in his own life. Here he was, all alone, away from his family, away from his home, and away from everyone but just these sheep. Perhaps he began to think about how his brothers, which were mighty warriors and have gone off to battle, and here he is, just this lowly shepherd. Maybe he thought about how his brothers didn't want to have him around. Maybe a little jealousy there, maybe a little envy. Loneliness was coming down hard on the shepherd David. His mind, it begins to wander. I'm all alone out here. It's just me and the stars above me. But then, perhaps as he was gazing upon these stars, he was reminded God was the one who created all of these stars, everything that's above his head. And God calls each of them by name. In Psalms chapter 147, verse 4, it says, he counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. Isn't that amazing? I have a hard time. We were driving home from church Wednesday night, I believe, and it was a beautiful sky. And Ethan and I were looking out the side window, and we're trying to look at all the formations. And I can point where the Big Dipper's at, and that ends right there, you know? And Ethan, he knew quite a bit. But anyway, so he looks all around, and all of these sheep around me, they're bedded for the night. He goes, they're not alone. They have me as their shepherd to watch over them, to protect them. He goes, he was led to believe that I led these sheep to this safe place of rest. And here they are, they're resting just because I am here. I've taken them from pasture to pasture, feeding them. My presence alone is comforting to them as they rest. Then the thought occurred to him, if God knows the number of the stars above me, and he calls each of them by their name, and I know that my God is my maker, he created both me and the stars. Surely God knows my name. David started to think, I am not alone. I have the Lord all around me. He has been leading me this whole time. I am comforted just knowing that he is here with me. He says, I am not alone. I have the Lord. And he goes, the Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps it was such a night as this that he penned the 23rd Psalm. No one knows for sure when he wrote it. It could have been on a pasture night like this. But we do know that he is the author. I'm going to take time to read that right now. Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we can simplify this and say that the theme of David's psalm was simply two things. It's one, the shepherd's care for his sheep, and two, how he's motivated by his great love for them. David compared the Lord to a shepherd who provides and protects the sheep. You know, and as we walk through life, the great shepherd is dedicated to the well-being of each one of us, to his people. Praise the Lord. He is with us. He is caring for us. He's providing for our needs. He knows our name, and he knows our voice. A few weeks ago, when my last time I was up here, I mentioned that he knows the number of the very hairs on top of our head. But it's even more personal than that. God knows your name. In Isaiah 49:1, it says, before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. John chapter 10, that wonderful chapter about Jesus the shepherd. In verses 3 through 4, in John 10, he goes, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. In verse 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's a personal relationship. The very first statement that David made in Psalms 23 is possibly the most important of the whole entire psalm. For there, David, he declared the identity of and a personal relationship with the shepherd. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And notice, I did put emphasis on my. But I don't want to skip ahead here. Seeing that the Lord is in all capitals here, it is referring to the Jehovah, the great I am. And David knew that his shepherd was the Lord Jehovah, his maker, the creator, the one true God, and the one to whom he belonged. But the personal pronoun, my, I believe is meaningful here. He declared it, for it expressed a personal and intimate relationship with the shepherd. David was claiming the shepherd as his own. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack." All the blessings stated in this psalm are conditional upon that personal relationship. Okay? Individuals must know the Lord as their shepherd, and he must know them. The shepherd was not some unknown entity to David. No, but he was a personal being, one who loved and tenderly watched over him. We can read in the Bible that it describes the Lord as being our good and great shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, I'm going to paraphrase through some of these. It says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." That's Jesus talking there, okay? And as a good shepherd, he cares deeply for his sheep. He does not think of only of his own welfare, but that of his flock. He loves each sheep in his flock, and he can call each one by name. His sheep know his voice, and they love him. Very similar to what I read in Sheep 101, how the sheep have a close relationship with their shepherd. And here Jesus compared all of us as sheep, and he's also comparing himself as a shepherd. And he wants that and desires that, and he has to have that close, intimate relationship with each one of them. A good shepherd will never leave his sheep in times of storms or other dangers. The shepherd willingly braves violently storms and battles wild animals in order to protect his sheep. You know, and this wasn't something that was out of place or something that David didn't experience. David experienced this. For as a young man, David was sent by his father Jesse to go up to his brothers while his brothers were staging a battle with the Philistines. And his brothers immediately looked at him like kind of scornfully, "What are you doing here? You know, shouldn't you be back home watching the sheep? Did you leave them all alone?" And David, "Oh, no, no, I left them with a keeper. He left them with an under-shepherd." And so at the same time when David was preparing to go to fight the Philistines' champion, Goliath, the giant, David was asked to prove himself by King Saul. David told King Saul of how he had slain a lion and a bear, and he delivered a lamb out of the mouth of the lion. You can read this later in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But I want to go to Luke 15, verses 4 through 6, one of our Lord's most well-known parables. It involves one lost sheep that strayed from the flock of over 100. In verse 4 of chapter 15, Luke 15, it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders." He's rejoicing. "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost.'" The shepherd, he left the 99 to go get the one lost sheep. And I thought it was really interesting that he carried it on his shoulders. And he came back rejoicing. Isaiah 40:11 kind of refers to this. It says, Isaiah 40:11 says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Jesus, the good shepherd, will gather little children unto him and carry them in his arms. You know, this is very encouraging to us as parents with young children, because we can know that our shepherd will gently lead us as we raise our children in these dark days. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret, "Am I doing it right?" We can depend on our shepherd to carry us and give us strength. We can say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, we can say it when we're 12. We can say it when we're 90. We can say it everywhere in between, that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. We can make it very personal, and we should make it personal. Isaiah 46, verse 4, it says, even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Isaiah 49, 15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Amen. That's encouraging to me. Our good shepherd knows what lies ahead of us. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knows the dangers that each and every one of us will face and when we'll face them. Going back to John chapter 10, looking at 10 and 11. These are very familiar passages. Sometimes I think we miss the connection, though, because we're not around sheep like me. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then the very next verse, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Even though we have an adversary out there, roaring like a lion all around us, we've got the good shepherd right there keeping watch. 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know, we do not have to fear, for our God is with us. The good shepherd is always on watch. You know, going back to David, when he came upon that lion with that lamb in its mouth, David didn't go run and hide. No, he slew the lion and plucked that lamb right out of his mouth. When David came upon the bear, did he run and leave his flock all there alone to fend for themselves? Absolutely not. As a good shepherd, he jumped between the bear and his flock. And that's how it is with Jesus, our good shepherd. Jesus will not leave us all alone. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can take that and we can go, we are not alone. No, the Lord, my shepherd, is with me. When the lion shows up in our path, when the adversary decides to show up, we are not left alone. Jesus is right there to jump between us and the lion. Sister Davis, when the bear comes and shows his ugly face and growls at us, we're not alone, Brother Davis, but Jesus will jump between us and the bear. Amen. He is the good shepherd. Amen. He is our protector. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible also calls him our great shepherd. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is that great shepherd. The characteristic of the great shepherd should be noted that it's telling us that the great shepherd has power and strength to protect and deliver those who put their trust in him. Believers are able to rest in peace under the watchful eye of Jesus, the great shepherd, who is able to deliver them from every danger. We can put our head on our pillow at night and go to sleep soundly, knowing that our shepherd never sleeps. He never slumbers. Amen. As the sheep feel secure and have no fear when the shepherd is present to watch over them, so as us as believers have security and confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, David expressed confidence in the Lord, his shepherd, when he explained, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Just the presence of the great shepherd was sufficient to remove all uneasiness and fear and doubt. You know, I told Brother Tom last Wednesday night what I was teaching on this morning, and he's gracious enough to go, oh, I got this great Bible study, this five-part series. It was called The Shepherd King from the Pentecostal Publishing site. So I went there, and I went through it, and I grabbed this poem that I want to read. And this is a poem that was written characterizing the environment of David and Goliath, David and the giant. And I'll read it here. It says, the low hum of wartime whispers are all around the camp of Saul's men. No, not courageous whispers, but ones of doubt, and yes, even unbelief. My chest tightens in sorrow. God's warriors, how can it be? Don't they know? Tomorrow, someday, there will be victory. God, he's won before, and he will win again. By supernatural might only, not of men. They must believe that. They have to know God is still with us. Ah, there are my brothers waiting for food. They must believe. Their faith should remain. I'll ask and see while I deliver their bread. Surely some courageous can be found. Dear brother, why are you here? They call out as they see me draw near. You should go back to the fields. It is not safe for you in this place. You are but a shepherd. But before I can open my mouth in defense, a voice makes haste to my ears. I defy the armies of Israel this day. You are all cowards. Send a man that he may fight. My brothers cower. A hush falls, and my eyes search for the owner of all those vile words. In the distance, I can barely see a giant among men, strong and tall. My hands begin to shake, and the righteousness of God falls. Is there not a cause? Will no one fight? No, they will not. Not my brothers, not the army, and not my king. My chest tightens in sorrow. God's warriors, how can it be? Don't they know? Tomorrow, someday, there will be victory? God, he's won before, and he will win again. By supernatural might only, not of men. They must believe that. They have to know God is still with us. The mocking giant, he calls again. I have to fight. With God, I will. They try to stop me, but God propels me with his might. I've already learned of his strength and of his faithfulness. He's with me. When I was alone in the fields, I faced a lion and a bear. He kept me. I now face this giant, much the same, a foe, an enemy of God's people. Like the lion and the bear, he is. His fate will be the same. My chest tightens with courage. I'm God's warrior. It is to be. I know today, every day, there will be victory. God, he's won before, and he will win again by supernatural might only, not of men. I know that. Now everyone else will too. God is still with us. He is still with me and you. Amen. What a beautiful poem. The Bible compared us to be sheep and says that people and sheep are alike in that both may be afraid of certain shadows. However, shadows cannot do us no harm. For example, and we've experienced this a lot lately in our family, but death is an enemy, and sometimes it casts a long shadow ahead of it. Nevertheless, the shadow of death, it cannot hurt us. It is possible for the believer to say, I will fear no evil, for you, the great shepherd, are with me. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, all fear will be gone because of the presence of the great shepherd. I'm going to read the full chapter of Psalms chapter 100, starting with verse 1. It says, a psalm of praise. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. He restores my soul, David said. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, it says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Our great shepherd cares so much for us, and he knows us better than we ourselves, and he desires to have that friendship with us. He desires to have that relationship with us. Even if you have gone astray, and the Bible says we have all gone astray, Jesus said, he will come looking for you. In Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save which was lost. If you don't know Jesus, or if you have gone astray, It's sad, but you are all alone. But you don't have to be. We find in Mark chapter 6:34, when Jesus looked at the multitude, he had compassion. He was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to, didn't cast them away. He began to teach them, draw them to himself. If you have gone astray, yes, you are all alone in this world, but know this, the great shepherd has compassion for you, and he is actively seeking you. He says he is knocking at your door. All you have to do is open up to him. We can compare Jesus with a story of the auction. It says each shepherd will make a small mark on the ear of their lamb, and it's a brand to tell the world that this lamb belongs to him. Even if that lamb goes astray, the shepherd will go out seeking, looking for that mark. The shepherd will search the mountaintop, the valley, the rapid streams, the dark shadows, looking for his lost lamb. And although many, many years may pass, the shepherd will continue to seek for that lost lamb. And even though the lamb is now an older sheep, most likely unrecognizable, other than the mark in his ear, the shepherd will not give up looking for his lamb. He'll even go to the marketplace, and there he found his lost lamb. And even though he's grown into an adult sheep, the shepherd recognizes him. He can see his mark. And he tells the auctioneer, "That sheep belongs to me." The auctioneer replies that, "It's none of my concern, bud. The wandering sheep was brought up for auction, and it will go for the highest price." And that's what our adversary wants to do to us. He thinks we're worthless, and he wants to snare us up, and he wants to sell us out to who can do the most damage to us. There's people in there at that auction that are from the slaughterhouse, and they're bidding on that thing. "Hey, I'll take them. We'll make some lamb chops out of this guy." But Jesus is there, and he's telling them, "That's mine. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, but you know what? He's also my lamb." Jesus was the lamb that became the shepherd. In John verse 1:29, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The Lamb has become my shepherd. Back to Hebrews verse 13 and 20, and I'm going to read the whole entire verse this time. It says, "May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Jesus is that great shepherd. Did you know in the very beginning of time, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping and things, and everything that creeps upon the earth." The point is, we were created in his image. Brother Al, we have his mark. We were on that auction block, and he came to us. And he will bid knowing that he's going to have to bid the highest price with his own life, with his own blood, to buy back that was his in the first place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in 19 and 20, and he says, "And ye are not your own." It says, "For we are bought with a price," verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, it says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, from the very beginning, but was manifest in these last days for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Church, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. The Bible says we've all gone astray. The Bible says he came seeking for us. He bid for us, and he paid his precious blood for us. 1 Peter chapter 2:25, and I am coming to a close right here. "For ye were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You may feel all alone in this world. Alone at your job. Maybe alone in a room full of people, in a classroom. Maybe even alone in your family, alone with your thoughts. alone with your burdens, your disappointments, your hurts, alone with your doubt, alone with your failures, maybe even alone in a crowd. You may even feel you deserve to be alone. You walked out on the great shepherd, and you feel that your sin is way too great. But let it be known to you this morning, and this is a thought that came to me. I said, Lord, how am I going to make this my own? And instantly, the Lord gave me the thought that I am not alone. That's the message that he wants to get out this morning. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is the good shepherd. He has left the 99 just to find you. He will not leave you alone. Jesus has paid the ultimate price with his own blood. Saint of God, rest assured, you are not walking alone. We have the good shepherd. His sheep will not be left alone. I know that the presence of the Lord is all around me. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. When he stretches that rod and staff out, I can assuredly and with confidence, not because of anything that I have done, but knowing that I've been bought with a price and I have his blood, I can walk underneath that rod and that staff and go into that sheepfold. And if I got just a few last scriptures to end this, 1 Peter 5 and 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's the goal, church. The goal is to walk into that sheepfold with a great shepherd holding up his rod and his staff and says, this is one of mine. He's got my mark. Amen. His blood is right there. He's got my mark. Church, we are not alone. Can we just stand and worship him right now as you transition to this time of prayer? God, we are not alone, Jesus. God, I thank you that you are always with us. I'm so thankful that each one of us can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything, God. Oh, you lead me, you guide me beside the still waters, Lord. Hallelujah. I shall not fear, for thou art with me, God. Oh, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God. You are there. You're with me, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You restore my soul. What this adversary has attacked and what he has taken away, God, you have restored it. You have brought it back manyfold, Lord Jesus. Lord, I can say with surety this morning, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah, God. It's because of you. It's because of your blood, because of your mercy, because you are that good, great chief shepherd of my life, Lord Jesus. Lord, lead us, God, as we follow you every day, God. Help us not to hold our heads low, but lift up our heads high. Help us to be a light, Lord, in this dark world, God. A city on a hill, Lord Jesus, God, where we can shine the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ in this dark world. Hallelujah, Lord, that we're not boasting on what you've done in us, Lord, because we know it was you, God. It was you all the time, Lord. It was you, Jesus, not us ourselves, Lord. God, we are yours. You are our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.